नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मदीरयेत्। Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashtaprayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in the best of songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On this 31st day of May 2010 in New Dwarka, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Canto 5, Chapter 18. The residents of Jambudweep offer prayers. And we are on text 33. Yasmin Asankeya Vishesha Nama. Yasmin Asankeya Vishesha Nama Rupakratao Kavibihi Kalpiteyam. Rupakratao Kavibhi Kalpiteyam. Sankhya Yaya Tapwa Jushapaniyate. Sankhya Yaya Tapwa Jushapaniyate. Tasmai Namaha Sankhya Nidarshanayate Iti Yasmin Nasankhya Visheshanama Rupakratau Kavibhi Kalpiteyam Sankhya Yaya Tattva Dushapaniyate Tasmai Nama Sankhya Nidarshanayate Iti Yasmin Nasankhya Visheshanama Rupakratau Kavibhi Kalpiteyam Sankhya Yaya Tattva Dushapaniyate Tasmai Namo Sankhya Nidarshanayate Iti. Minna Sankhya Visheshanama Rupakratau Kavibhi Kalpiteyam Sankhya Yaya Tattva Dushapaniyate Tasmai Namak Sankhya Nidarshanayate Iti. Tasmai namak sankhya nidarshanayate iti. Ladies? yasminna sankeya vishesha nama rupakritau kavibhi kalpiteyam. Tapavdishapaniyate Vashanayate iti. Yasminna sankeya visheshanama rupakritau kavibhi kalpiteyam. Yasmin, in you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, asankhyeya, innumerable, vishesha, particular, nama, names, rupa, forms, akritau, possessing bodily features, kavibhihi, by great learned persons, kalpita, imagined, iyam, this, sankhya, number, yaya, by whom, tatva, of the truth, visha, by knowledge, apaniyate, is extracted, tasmai, unto him, namaha, respectful obeisances. Sankhya, Nidarshanaya, who is the revealer of this numerical knowledge. Te, unto you. Iti, thus. Translation. O my Lord, your name, form, and bodily features are expanded in countless forms. No one can determine exactly how many forms exist. Yet you yourself, in your incarnation as the learned scholar Kapiladev, have analyzed the cosmic manifestation as containing 24 elements. Therefore, if one is interested in Sankhya philosophy, by which one can enumerate the different truths, he must hear it from you. Unfortunately, non-devotees simply count the different elements and remain ignorant of your actual form. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Philosophers and scientists have been trying to study the entire cosmic situation and have been theorizing and calculating in different ways for millions and millions of years. However, the speculative research work of a so-called scientist or philosopher is always interrupted when he dies, and the laws of nature go on without regard for his work. For billions of years, changes take place in the material creation, until at last the whole universe is dissolved and remains in an unmanifested state. Constant change and destruction, bhutva bhutva praliyate, is perpetually going on in nature. Yet the material scientists want to study natural laws without knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the background of nature. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 9:10, Mayadhyakshena prakati suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagad vipadivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Close quote. Now the material creation is manifest. Eventually it will be annihilated and remain for many millions of years in a dormant state. And finally, it will again be created. This is the law of nature. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om jnana tumarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshu unmilatam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So this is the last of the prayers of the residents of Jamudvip to Kurma Rupa. And next we have Varaha Rupa. So in this verse is mentioned how the theme of these prayers, if you study them, is that Krishna is present everywhere. He expands himself into this whole cosmic manifestation. And indeed, there is nothing else existing but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead includes his various energies, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaya Vishuyate. And indeed, without understanding the energies of the Lord, or accepting, in fact, the inconceivable number of energies and ways in which they work, there's no real access to understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this particular verse, it's described how even the forms and the names, if you look at this world, you realize that everything has a form and a name. If you want to identify somebody, right, the first thing you want, well, what's his name? And if you can't remember his name, well, what does he look like? Maybe we'll figure out his name. When you have a name and a form, then you have an idea of what the person is. And when you continue, oh, what are their qualities? What do they do? Right? Just like with Krishna, Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila. This, all, if you understand these and you contemplate these, you're meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it always begins with the name. So that's why it's said that this world is simply a construct, if you will, of different names and forms. And what's the special or unique characteristic, the essential characteristic of this world, is that it's always changing. Our forms are always changing. Between yesterday and today, we've had our forms have changed. We may not notice it so much, but over some time, you see a little more white hair, a few more wrinkles. This doesn't work so well. I'm getting shorter. What's happening? You know. So in this way, the forms are changing, and eventually, this particular form, everyone has a form now, is going to disappear entirely, forever. And in fact, it's not what it seems. The whole thing about Maya is that this world is not what it seems. We take it to be something it's not, and that is that it's a permanent place for our security and happiness. So one of the aspects of our Vedic philosophy, as explained in great detail by Kapila Muni in Canto 3, is analyzing just what this world is made of. And therefore, this is mentioned here about the 24 elements. So let's go through those 24 elements once again, just to keep them fixed in our mind. This is not exactly how the material scientists analyze this world, but there are some overlapping understandings. So the first is Krishna describes right in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Bhuma, Apo, Anano, Vayu, Kang, Mano, Buddha, Devacha, Ahankara, Iti, Yamna, Bhinna, Pakadarashchara. He says, here are these eight material elements. These are separated from me in the Bhinna, and they're also separated from each other. So they're Apara, they're lower energy. So what is it? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Or to put it in general terms, solid matter, liquids, gases, radiant energy, such as electricity or fire, air, we went through that, and then space is also understood to be an energy. Earth, water, fire, air, and we call ether or space. These are like called the gross elements. But they're subtle. These are progressively subtler elements, as you see. And then even more subtle than that is the mind, manas, and then the buddhi, the intelligence, discriminating factor. And most subtle material element of all is this called false ego. This false ego, false sense of self, by which we identify with the construct of these material elements, of these lower elements, isn't it? Including the mind. So those are eight. Then you have the sense objects, which are constructed of these things. So sense objects, they match up with the senses. You have the sound first, right? Sound. And then you have touch. And form, you have a sense of tactile sense, is also an object. And a form, and smell, and taste. Taste and smell. So these are the five objects of the senses, and along with them you have the five knowledge-acquiring senses. Jnana Indriya, which are the common senses that everyone learns in second grade. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the taste and the sense of touch. Now, actually, in the Vedic understanding, these senses aren't really the whole story. When you hear, you hear not only with this physical thing, which is just a machine, but also with the corresponding sense in the mind. And you can understand that that both have to be there, because even though something may, some garbage truck may be outside, if you're fully concentrating on your rounds, on your Hare Krishna mantra, you won't hear it. It doesn't register on the mind, right? There's so many sounds that you filter out in order to hear what you're paying attention to. So that paying attention is the direction of your inner sense through your outer machine of the outer sense to actually get a perception. And we do that all the time. Vision, there's so many things in your field of vision, but you're moving around and seeing so many different things, and that's how the sight works. So, you have five knowledge-acquiring senses by which you see the objects. And then you have your karmendriya, your active senses. So we've got 5, 5, and 8. We've up to 18 already, right? And then you've got your active senses, and those are most important for the devotee is the voice. Prabhupada actually moved this whole movement by his voice, by that active sense. Didn't it? He would dictate his books. He would, at a certain point, dictate letters. And, of course, he was preaching and talking everywhere. So the voice is key. You also have, of course, your hands, very important, your feet, and the generative organ and the evacuative organ. So you got 5 of those. So we're up to 23 already. So this is our field of activity. Now, the 24th is often, is sometimes said to be the contaminated consciousness, you see. And then you have the soul and the super soul within. And so that's what we're dealing with here. That's the way that the Sankhyites say analyze everything. The atheistic, they don't come to the point of the super soul. But as Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear whenever he deals with this subject, the whole point of the analysis is to come to the understanding of the super soul and ultimately the source of the super soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and use these elements in the service of the Lord. This field of activity is what constitutes our conditioning. When we forget Krishna, then what do we have to work with? This field, which is given to us. We didn't create it. Did we create the earth, the water, the fire? No, this is all given to us by nature under the instruction of the Supreme Lord. Now, why? This why question is key. Srila Prabhupada speaks about that in the Yoga System tapes. We have to come to the point of why. The scientists that were mentioned here, they're all about how. How is this working? How is the world working? And by their building up, you know, by investigation, they can manipulate this world in wonderful ways. But it's all about how. How can we build the iPod? You know, how can we build the iPhone? How can we build the weapons? You know, so much of the technology and the intelligence is geared toward creating newer and newer weapons. Demoniac, Ugra Karma, right in the 16th chapter. Why do we need the weapons? Because we're afraid. It all boils down to fear. Eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing. So we're afraid that the other guys are building better weapons. We have to build weapons, right? But this great brain power of all of these, you know, scientists and technologists and this huge industry, hundreds of billions of dollars a year is put toward this, is all based on this fear. So the why is because we're fearing. The how is, oh, okay, we'll manipulate these 24 elements. And they usually recognize much fewer of them, the earth, water, fire, air, that's about it. And then we'll create this weapon, we'll be safer. So the intelligent person keeps asking why. And as we know from the great example of Sanatana Goswami, he asked the why question right at the beginning. Kami, who am I? And then Kene Amai Japa Tare Trai. Why are these threefold miseries giving me so much trouble? Why am I suffering in this world? And we can also ask why. I remember asking this question way before I even met devotees. As Prabhupada says in his very first purport, the first canto, text 1, the intelligent person looks up in the sky and asks, you know, where did everything come from? Why is there anything? Why does anything exist? Why am I here? What is my mission? You know, what's the purpose of it all? Is it just purposeless? You know? And unfortunately, for many years, as a young man, I got deviated into the idea that ultimately, there's no purpose. There's no reason. Existentialism, nihilism, anarchism, you know. But this why question ultimately can only be answered, you think about it, when you talk about volition. In other words, there's an intelligent person behind the why. Sometimes the why and the how are confused. For instance, if there's an accident, the cops will come and the car skidded off the road and hit a tree, say. They say, why did that happen? Oh, okay, because the brakes failed. Right? And they got their answer. That's their answer. They write that down. But that's how it happened. The brakes, that's how it happened. So why, you really have to go back, why was the person driving in the first place? Why, where were they going? Why are they in the material world? You know, why are we suffering? Why is it all, what does it all exist? So you have Prabhupada referred to the Kena Upanishad. Now interestingly enough, Kena means why. But if you look it up in the dictionary, it also means how. So why and how often go together. So let's kind of, on the basis of this Sankhya, now let's move to this question of why we're in this situation of being covered and conditioned by these 24 elements. Now, a devotee reading this verse and reading Bhagavad Gita understands that this is all Krishna's energy. In other words, where did it come from? We don't put that aside. We want to know. Maya jakshena prakati suya. It's all under the control of Krishna. The material energy is working under his control. It's not working automatically. Nothing is automatic. Everything has a will behind it. It's very, very, very complicated, but nothing is happening by accident. When you say by accident, it means, oh, I just don't know the cause. Right? That's the end. Oh, you know, a game of chance. Right? And so many people are taking games of chance. That means that it's complicated. No one can see which card is coming up and so forth. Of course, they try to fix it. That's another thing. But therefore, it's a game of chance. No, anyone can win. But there's a cause. It's shuffled in a certain way. So many cards have come up. If you know that, then you can know what card is coming up most likely. That's why in Las Vegas, they kick out the card counters. They don't want them to know what's really happening. They want it to be completely, you know, complete ignorance. So in this material world, no matter how much the scientists investigate these 24 elements, searching out in their way, they'll never find out the cause of all causes. They'll never find out the ultimate how, and more importantly, the why. And it is simply a bankrupt enterprise. And yet this passes as knowledge. And all of the changing names and forms, all of the forces that are going on, we're simply trying to manipulate them in order to somehow ward off the fearful elements of this world and eke out a few drops of pleasure. So into this prison house, if you will, comes Krishna or his representative to give the clue about how to make sense of it all. Because ultimately it doesn't make any sense. As Shakespeare said, it's a tale told by an idiot. It doesn't make any sense. You strut and fret your time on the stage and then you're off. If that's all you know, you're born at a certain time, you come into being at a certain time, and you do something, and then 70, 80 years later, you're annihilated and you don't exist anymore, then indeed it doesn't have any meaning. The only meaning then is what we see outside that people are giving it. Try to enjoy as much as you can while you still have, you know, strength. And then nothing has meaning. But is that satisfying? No. Just look at the world. Half the country is taking antidepressants. Why? You know? Because all of their efforts to live in according to this philosophy, and there has to be a philosophy, a Weltanschauung, a way in which you're seeing yourself in the world, doesn't bring real satisfaction. It's frustrating. This flickering sense gratification is very frustrating. You want it, you want it, you want it. If your karma is right, you get it. But then it's lost. It's gone. And then you remember, oh, I had it once. Right? No matter how much money you have, your ability to enjoy is restricted. So this philosophy of the scientists and the materialists can never bring us happiness. It just brings us the illusion of making progress, when actually they're getting deeper and deeper into the complexities of this world. as Srila Prabhupada says many times. So, devotees, coming to the Vedic knowledge, one has to accept the impossibility of understanding these things by the investigative process, by the ascending process. That's what the scientists are all about. There may or may not be a God, we don't care. We are going to use our intelligence, our instruments. Look, we just created a more powerful microscope, a more powerful telescope, a more powerful computer. Now, at last, we can get into it and we can find out what's really going on. No, they'll never. It's just Maya's trick, you know. All you're doing is amplifying your senses that are already imperfect, and you get more imperfection and more confusion. So, what is the way out? The way out is Arjun's strategy. Stop trying to figure it out yourself and approach Krishna or his pure representative. Prabhupada uses this phrase so many times, the pure via media. By that he meant the transparent medium through which Krishna's instruction, Krishna's knowledge can come and we can see. Now, the transparency is there in the medium, but we also have to be somewhat transparent. That's the receptive mood. That's the submissive oral reception. Otherwise, the static in the mind prevents us from receiving the knowledge. And we know how many millions of books have been distributed. People may open them and say, oh, this is not for me. You know, they just lost their chance for however many years. You know, it's for them. That's it. This is their chance. But they put it off. They postpone, you know. So the medium has to be pure. We have that, Srila Prabhupada and his books. But also our attitude has to be pure. And that's the key with Arjun. Where before he was taking the role of arguing with Krishna and no conclusion was coming. But his problem wasn't being solved. Right? Karpanda dosho bahata sobhava prachamitam dharma samudacheta. I'm overwhelmed by this miserly weakness. I've dropped my bow, which is a critical factor for any kshatriya. You know, he never does that. You know, he did it out of paralysis. He's trembling, crying, he's confused. So he admits it. You know, this is the attitude. I come to the spiritual master. Yakshe yakshyanishchitam bruhitam. Tell me for sure. For certain now, no more speculation, for certain, how I can achieve my ultimate good. What is the Dharma? I'm bewildered about Dharma. Dharma is a way, is a path, is a process by which you can get to the ultimate goal. I'm your Shishya now. Your Shishya means, the Prabhupada said, to be controlled. Now I'm surrendering to you. Papannam. The Shishya comes from the root Shash, which is a root that means to be controlled. So either we're going to be controlled by the Shastra, voluntarily, or by the Shastra. It's like Shastra is a weapon. The Grim Reaper, right? Death. The Grim Reaper has his scythe to cut everyone down. So, Mrityusova Hadascham. One way or another, Krishna says, as death, I take everything away. Or we can give it voluntarily, you know, and attain the goal of life with pure love. So, Arjun, the intelligent person, agrees, okay, I don't know. I do not know. Please instruct me. O transparent spiritual master, O Krishna, you know, as Arjun says. And then we can start to have the clue of what the meaning is behind this analysis. It's not just 24 elements, but there's a meaning behind it. And the meaning is, again, coming to the point of why we're in this situation, and once knowing why, then we can know how to act in this world to escape it. To get away from these material elements and return to the internal nature, where there's not all of these material names and forms and confusion, but everything is pristine and full of ananda. So I turn to these verses that Srila Prabhupada would quote all the time. He says, "A Krishna buli se jeev anadi bahimukha ateva maya tare deya sangsar dukha." So this is really an answer to the question of Sanatan, the first question which we mentioned. Why am I suffering in this world? Who am I? Why am I suffering? So the who is, of course, the answer is Jiva Rasodapoy Krishna Nityadas, that the Jiva, the living entity, is eternally a servant of Krishna. But, having forgotten Krishna, Krishna Buli Se Jiva Anari, and from time immemorial, turning one's face away. It's very dramatic. Bahir Mukha. If you want to forget somebody, you turn your face away from them. And you remove them from your Facebook. Is it not? In other words, if you really want to forget him, you have to do more than that now. But in the old days, everything was personal. You turn your back on somebody and walk away. All right, I'm not thinking of you anymore. That's what we've done to Krishna. That's the original problem, the original sin, if you will, or mistake. So bahirmukha means turning outside. We're not outside. And as soon as that happens, what happened? Atayeva, therefore, maya tare deya sangsar dukha. Maya, the external energy of Krishna, is therefore giving the living entity miseries. Those are the source of the threefold miseries. But in our deep ignorance, and we don't know that anymore. And so we're constantly trying to ward off the miseries with our techniques and our gizmos and our plans. It just creates more misery. Balaam Maharaj says, Duk aushadam tadabhi dukkam. It's hopeless. The aushadi, the remedy for the dukkha, creates more dukkha. Look at this oil spill. I mean, can there be a more graphic example? You know, think, kind of broaden your vision to 100, 200 years. I don't know when they discovered this oil. It was sometimes in the 19th century, right? So with the oil came the gasoline. With the gasoline came the cars and the trucks, right? Everything changed. Probably often told gasoline civilization only has 50 more years to go. He mentioned that. He called it petrol, I think. So what happened? Okay, we discovered the oil. Now we have a much more convenient means of energy. And there's a whole industry, Ugra Karma, for cracking the oil. I once studied that. You know, how you break the oil down into the gasoline and the motor oil and the plastics and the fertilizers. So much comes from oil. It makes this modern so-called civilization possible, is the petroleum. Okay, well, it grows and grows and grows and grows. You have a billion Chinese and a billion and a half Indians, and everyone else also wants to have cars and fertilizers and plastics. Can the earth actually support that? Talk about Ugra Karma. So then you have to keep drilling and drilling, and of course they use it up, so they go to the more difficult areas, such as the Gulf of Mexico. Now they're drilling a mile down, right? And the oil companies, they buy off the politicians so they can do it more cheaply. They don't have so much regulations. And the result is a huge spill going on for weeks and months, you know, completely polluting. And it's just like the disease civilization. Suddenly a pustule has broken and everyone can see how contaminated it is, how hopeless it is, isn't it? So this is a result of forgetting Krishna and trying to, you know, all of these cars and trucks, they provide a benefit. Now we can truck in all kinds of goods that couldn't before. We can go so fast, you know, unless you hit a traffic jam. That is better walking or biking, but that's the way it is. You have a dukkha, you solve it. Oh, now it's solved. Then another misery comes due to your activities and you're deeper involved. So, this is the material world. Everything you look at, you know, is like that. Growing of food, basic needs are taken over by this technology. So Maya gives us all of these miseries. And Jagadananda Pandit has a similar verse where he talks about Krishna Bohamukha Hanya Bhoga Vanchakori. Why are we turning away from Krishna? To enjoy Bhoga. In other words, to enjoy separately from the Lord. That is the ultimate why. That is the ultimate answer to the why question. Why are we here? Why are we suffering? Now, then he says, as soon as you want like that, as soon as that desire comes upon you, Maya is standing right there. Nikatastha Maya. She's always here. We don't have to call her. Japatiya Dhari. She slaps you down. The word japatiya is just like what it sounds. It's like someone tackles on a football field. Boom. And then you're covered, you forget, and you suffer. You're ignorance. You have ignorance and you're covered over, you forget everything. So, the Lord Chaitanya is teaching us, right, through Sanatana Goswami. Open up the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila chapter 20, 21, and so forth, and you'll find these teachings of Sanatana Goswami, which is coming down to us through our parampara, all based on Bhagavatam. So obviously the source of it all is forgetting Krishna, turning away from Krishna, and therefore the remedy is turning back to Krishna. And that's why this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This conditioned mind, which wants to forget Krishna, we have to, with the intelligence purified by hearing the Shastra and hearing the gurus and the sadhus, we have to say, okay, I'm not going to forget Krishna anymore. I'm going to turn to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. I'm going to come to the temple, Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish. I'm going to do my services in such a way, and thinking of it for Krishna, right? So, in this way, we're in the sanitarium or the hospital. We're trying to be cured from this disease, the root of which is forgetting Krishna, the cause of which is we want to enjoy separately. So that's why everything depends on this surrendered mood. The mood of devotion is that not for me, but for you, Krishna. And not for me, but for you, Krishna's devotees. Because after all, Krishna's greatest enjoyment, you know, this goes back to the original why question, why is there anything? Why is this a universe? And it's described, raso vaisa eko bahusyam. This is from the Upanishads. That Krishna himself is made of rasa. In other words, his whole being is his motive. What does he want? He wants to enjoy loving relationships with infinite souls. And that's what's going on in the spiritual world. Therefore, he expands. One became many, you see, eternally. That's the key element. That's why there is anything. Now, we flail around for so many millions of years, and then finally, there's an annihilation, and we're in suspended animation for a long time. But Krishna's world is going on eternally. That's our original home. So, the idea is that there is a meaning to everything. And the meaning ultimately is relationship, is enjoying relationship. But we can't do it through matter, through these 24 elements. Everything is just like I have a problem with my ears, so I wear earplugs, sometimes I wear these noise-canceling headphones, you know. So everything is kind of muffled. If I want to hear something, I take it out, you know, obviously. So it's like that. We're trying to enjoy these relationships, but the whole thing is muffled. The volume is turned way down. The EQ is messed up. And so we're enjoying these little reflections of a relationship with other people, with as friends, as parents, as servants, as lovers, with things, right? So many things, right? I have this thing now, and, you know, here, this is making a recording. It could be used for relationship with things. People love their cars more than they love their wives sometimes, you know. And they identify themselves with that, you know. But ultimately, it all comes to dust through the force of time. But the soul is eternal, so it remains frustrated. And we go on to the next chapter, according to our karma. So we want to get out of this cycle, this torturous, you know, merry-go-round of trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, getting old, sick, dying, trying again, getting old, sick, dying. This is not what we're meant for. We're meant to, again, join in Krishna's dance party in the spiritual world. Prabhupada talks like that in the Ishopanishad. And that the only way to do that is to become reformed. The mind is conditioned to think in a certain way. The senses are conditioned to act in a certain way. The intelligence is conditioned to plan and connive in a certain way. So all of that, all of what we have has to be purified, trained to act in the normal way, in the natural way. We have a spiritual mind, spiritual senses, and spiritual intelligence. And that's the process of devotional service. But it's important to know the whole story. Therefore, the Sankhya is there. What is this world, really? We don't have to go and take, physics and organic chemistry, unless you're becoming a doctor or something, in order to get deeply, deeply, deeply into just how they're working, what are the valences, what are the atoms. For a transcendentalist, that's not necessary. This analysis is fine, and it brings us to the point of knowing how to act for our ultimate benefit. We only have a few days, a few weeks left in this body. It doesn't matter how old we are. You know, when you get older, time seems to be going faster, isn't it? Anyone who's is it May already? No, it's almost June, right? What happened to May? What happened to 2009? You know, that's the way it feels. So we only have a few days, weeks, months left. We use every second that we can, that we should use. The devotee doesn't waste time in acting properly, thinking in the proper way to cultivate our relationship with Krishna. To come to the point, right? I was going over this with Vaisheshika Prabhu, great treasure of the Krishna consciousness movement. He was rooming with me. I didn't get too much chance to interact with him, unfortunately. But I was going over this, what I call the Krishna Katashtaka, which is 8 verses about the glories of hearing and chanting, which occurs in the 12th chapter, the 12th canto, right near the end. Suta Goswami's last instructions before he gets up and leaves. This Krishna Katashtaka, almost the final thing. So what is it? It's 8 verses about the importance of Sankirtan. You know, it begins with Sankirtan. Sankirtyamano Bhagavan Ananta. That those who nicely hear and chant about the glories of the Lord, then he enters the heart. He's already there, but he comes manifest. And he wipes away all of the abhudras, the unwanted things, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, envy. Just like the sun coming up, this dissipates the darkness, or a powerful wind wipes away the fog. And he goes on, I won't go into the whole thing, but he goes back and forth. He says, on the other hand, those words that do not glorify the Lord are false and untrue. False in the sense of unreal, and untrue in the sense of, you know, against the truth. But those words which glorify the Lord are ever fresh. They're an eternal festival for the mind. They dry up the ocean of lamentation. They're very tasty, ruchram, ever fresh. So he glorifies them that way. Then he repeats. Some of you know these verses. Those words that don't glorify the Lord are like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. The crows go to the dirty place. They're eating, you know, the garbage dump and other things. The swans don't go there. Wherever Achyuta is being glorified, there are the swan-like devotees. And, Tad Bhagavasargo is also repeated in the 12th canto. It shows it's a very important verse. That those words, maybe every verse is imperfectly composed. Just like I get so many poems with the Vyasa Puja offerings. I can say, no offense, every verse is practically imperfect. I mean, they're glorifying Prabhupada, so they're perfect. But, you know, the meter is... Anyway. Hare Krishna. But still, they're accepted. We're going to print them. You know, it's Prabhupada. Go on. So a little child is, you know, with the broken language is expressing his love for the father, and the father is crying, you know. It's the mood that counts. So, anyway, going on. At the end of all of this glorification of hearing and chanting, he has this verse that's... glorifying the unbroken remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet, which comes about by hearing and chanting. This is what the whole point. Avismati Krishna Badara Vindayo Chinotya Badrani Chashantanoti. So abhadras, the inauspicious things, the anartas, the offenses, all of these impurities are destroyed by this constant remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet. And Shantanoti. There is welfare, there is good fortune for everyone who participates. This Shang is like Shankara. He does good fortune for everybody. It's a name for Shiva, Shankara. So then, going on, Sattvasya Shuddhim, one's very existence is purified. And Paramatma Bhaktim, one attains devotion for the Paramatma, for the Super Soul, for Krishna. Which is Jnanam Chavigyana Viraga Yuktam, accompanied by knowledge, realized knowledge, and detachment. This verse was apparently quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada doesn't quote it, but it's in that book of Bhaktivikasa Swami's about Bhaktisiddhanta, and there's one chapter on his verses and Shastra. So anyway, this is the antidote to absorption and confusion caused by immersion in these material elements and in Maya. And that is the cultivation of remembrance of Krishna through the process of bhakti, leading to purification of heart and pure devotion and return to the spiritual world. So I would be remiss if I didn't, I'm sorry, I'm over time a little bit, give one little poem. I keep forgetting to do that, and then I'll ask for questions. And this is my latest one. It's just one verse. It says, everybody dies, nobody dies. Wake up, and open your eyes. You're not that body, you're a pure spirit soul. Chant the holy name and attain life's goal. Hare Krishna. It's for a t-shirt. Okay, Bhadri Narayan Prabhu?
You were saying that they're simply absorbed in the how but not the why. Well, hang on a minute. We have our astrophysicists. They're trying to figure out the secrets of the universe. We have our super Hadron Collider, you know, our atom smasher. We have the, you know, our nuclear biotics that we're going down to what is the smallest, you know,
subatomic.
And you can say, yeah, but, you know, what have you done? Like, you know, Prabhupada said to the guy, you know, he's going to create life. Prabhupada said, fine, can you make me a blade of grass? The guy can't. Say, make me a drop of milk, you know. The guy couldn't do it, you know. So the point I really wanted to get to is that we dismiss that they haven't solved any of the problems of birth, death, disease, and old age. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, people are still dying. They were dying, you know, whatever was they're dying from that. They're dying. They're still dying. 100%. That's the rate. But they say we haven't solved it, but we've made incremental progress. I'm almost through. But we're making incremental progress.
Right.
And therefore, because of that incremental progress, we know that, you know, we're moving, just like you build a building. You build the basement, then you build the first floor. So we're gradually unlocking the secrets of the universe, and we will understand why. And why and how are the same thing. There is no volition or intelligence behind it. And you can say that we're not there yet, but you're not there yet either. You have faith in, this is the last piece of the puzzle. Because he can answer this, that's why I'm asking him. You say that, I haven't seen Krishna, but we say, like we say, Rati is dawning of love of God. You know, even before the sun comes up, you see the things become illuminated. So we have faith that the symptoms are there. Prabhupada says you can measure. Are you becoming detached from material things? So even before I'm pure Krishna Prem, there are indicators, and based on that, I feel that I'm making advancement. Prabhupada says you haven't finished the meal, but as soon as you start eating, you feel refreshed and relieved. So we use these arguments all the time. I'm not seeing Krishna face to face, but I have faith in the process because I feel myself becoming relieved of the modes of nature.
Right.
If we accept incremental progress as proof that we're on the right path, then why, this is the point, then why can't we say this for the scientists? They say we're making incremental progress, and we will answer why by how, because there is no why.
Okay. Thank you for that. The... The fallacy there is that, you know, how do we live our lives? Every one of these scientists, every one of these, you know, investigators, they also have a personal life in the sense that they have a family, they have this, children and so forth. And really, when you come down to it, that's what they regard as most important. If it was a question of, I have to go to work today and work on my super collider, or my child is deathly sick, I've got to take him to the hospital or he'll die, he's going to take the kid to the hospital. And what I'm getting at there is that none of this activity that the scientists engage in is really solving their own personal problem, which is the accrual of, you know, these anxieties and the ultimate disaster of old age, disease, and death. And not only that, but even on their own terms, what is the actual progress they're making? This blowout is a good example. You know, we're talking. I mean, this is 2010. They've had over 100 years to perfect their technology for extracting oil, and yet here you have this thing. They can't stop it. You know, it's just spewing out thousands and thousands of gallons of barrels of oil, millions. You know, cumulatively. Fouling all of these things. And the biggest fallacy, you know, is that, we have now the ultimate weapon. We have, you know, all of these atom bombs, and they have so many other things, that your predator drones and all this stuff. But is it really going to save us? I mean, you know, we can't reach out by our will and disarm the Russian things. Now the Chinese have them too. Even the Israelis have them. You know, in other words, there's all of this technology built up. But as Prabhupada says in his address in 1936, is that these fancy weapons, there's no genuine progress from the cavemen throwing stones down on each other. It's the same thing, you know. It's just a different technology. So when you come down to it, the actual lives of the people who are doing these things, they're very insecure. This is why they spend so much money on these, the so-called defense budget. Because they're insecure. They're absorbed in the external energy. And it's totally demonic. They're placing their faith in the material energy. But the material energy is controlled by Krishna. So, whereas devotees generally feel that we're making progress, and we can feel in our own lives, you know, that we're more peaceful, we're more detached, we're joyful. I would gather that in this room, there is certainly a lower percentage, and probably an extremely lower percentage, of people taking antidepressants than there is in the outer population. Because you got Hare Krishna. You know, that's a genuine benefit. You know, that's, so when it comes down, so when it comes down to it, and you know, the bottom line is when they're dying, Prabhupada always talked, well, they can't, you know, Einstein died, they can't make new Einsteins, you know, and Einstein couldn't stop death, you know. So really, no matter how big their superstructure of technology is, they're ultimately control. You know, the technology of their heart beating and their kidneys working is still dependent on forces beyond their control, and they're defeated. You know, it's all defeated. Anyway, we can discuss it later. We're kind of running out of time. Raj, you had something. Hare Krishna. Yeah, it's getting later. Right.
Is motivated to act in knowing right. Is there, and also controlling. So I don't have the time to make a convincing argument, maybe, but those in power, I don't think they're afraid of Iraq or Iran. They want the control so right. They can enjoy. So controlling and enjoying is too wise. Every conditioned soul is acting in every aspect,
right.
Including fear.
That's why the word kena in Sanskrit means how and why together. But you know, as transcendentalists, we want to not just get hung up on the how the material energy is working, but really always go to the why. Why am I doing something right now? Is it for Krishna or is it for me? You know, that question has to be there. What is my motive? What is the reason? Not just the cause, but the reason. In the English, you have this subtle difference. You know, so watching our motives, that's the whole enterprise of Krishna consciousness. And ultimately, at every moment, every breath, the motive should be, why am I doing it? I'm doing it for Krishna's pleasure. You know, we should stop now. We're going to go. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.